Psalms 26, verse 6, I will wash mine eyes in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Now go to Psalms 50, and we'll read verse number 14, Psalms 50, and then verse number 14. The Bible says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 69. We'll go there next. Psalm 69, and we'll look at verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalms 95. We'll look at the second verse of Psalms 95, verse 2. Psalms 95 and verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. And then the 100th psalm and verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalms 107. We'll go there next. Psalms 107. And we'll look at verse 22, Psalms 107 and verse number 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And then Psalms 116, Psalms 116. And verse number 17, Psalms 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And one more verse, Psalms 147. Psalms 147. And we'll look at verse number 7. Psalms 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious verses found in this wonderful book. Lord, thank you for the book of Psalms. Thank you for, Lord, writing it, Lord, sending it. Lord, thank you that these are your precious words. Thank you that we can gain what we do when we read the book of Psalms. It touches us, it helps us, it tenderizes us. Lord, I think it helps us to get to know you and your heart. So, Lord, as we talk about the subject of thanksgiving this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless. And, Lord, again, we ask, please, if there's anyone here without Christ, they'd be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And may be seated. Well, we just read 8 different verses. You'll find the word thanksgiving 8 times in the book of Psalms. And we just read the 8 thanksgiving verses from Israel's songbook. Now, many other places in the book of Psalms, of course, the subject of thankfulness is found. But the actual word thanksgiving, 8 times found in the book of Psalms. Every Christian, I believe, is made better by spending daily time in the book of Psalms. My brother Jack Howes, who I was under for several years, taught us young preachers to spend some time in each of 3 books of the Bible every single day. He used to say Psalms for the heart, Proverbs for the mind, Acts, the book of Acts, for the will. From Psalms, we learn the heart of God. From Proverbs, we learn the wisdom of God. And from Acts, we learn how to have power with God. And by the way, I found this simple formula of great value in my life as a preacher. This week, we celebrate our National Day of Thanksgiving. By the way, can I just park here for a second? Like every other holiday, the wicked, godless world will try to make the day about anything other than the Lord. Let's not let that happen. Easter's supposed to be a celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world will point you to a bunny rabbit who lays eggs and hides candy in your backyard, okay? All right. Christmas is supposed to be a celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world will point you to a fat man in a red suit who lives at the North Pole, knows all and everything about you and brings you presents if you're nice enough. Thanksgiving is supposed to be a time to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his goodness and grace to us all, but the world will try to distract you with feasting and football and a mailbox full of flyers promoting doorbuster sales on Black Friday. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we as Christians just decide to make every single holiday celebration about the Lord Jesus Christ? And let's let this morning's message get us in the right frame of mind for the week ahead. I'm going to give you today six truths from the eight Thanksgiving verses in the book of Psalms that I think will prepare our hearts to have a wonderful week where we can enjoy all of the family and the feasting, but still keep our heart and our mind on the Lord. I want to say this. I'm going to take you back to Psalms 26. We'll go there. We'll go to each of these verses again. We'll take a look at each and every one. Number one, thanksgiving should be voiced. Thanksgiving should be voiced. In Psalms 26, verse 6 and 7, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Watch this, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I believe that true thankfulness always finds a voice. It always finds a voice. I'm not sure that thanksgiving is thanksgiving until it's verbalized. You say, where do you get that? Well, there was an incident that happened in Luke chapter 17. Can I read that story to you? Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. How many folks? All right, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. By the way, that's all 10 of them. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Boy, what a convicting question next. But where are the nine? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. All I can say about that is this, folks. Listen to me. Just decide that you're going to be the one and not the nine. In your life, you're going to make the decision. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the exception to the rule. I've often thought to myself, if I was a leper, and Jesus sent me to the priest, and as I went, I looked down, and I was miraculously cleansed, and they were, and healed of leprosy, and they were. That's what the Bible says. I think I would be thankful in my heart. I don't think any of those nine were not thankful in their heart. But wait a minute. God did not recognize thankfulness that stays in the heart. I don't believe he counts thanksgiving as thanksgiving till it's verbalized. This man took the time to go back and say thank you. Look right up here, young people. I want to help you. When's the last time you verbalized to your mom how thankful you are for her and to her? Well, she knows. I mean, I feel it in here. Listen, it's not Thanksgiving in here. It's not Thanksgiving till it comes out here. Come on, husbands. We can do better, can't we, on this? You know what? When's the last time we've just stopped, got a hold of our wife, really looked her in the eye and expressed our appreciation, gratitude for everything that she does? I think in every one of our lives, we need to let this week Thanksgiving find a voice. So number one, Thanksgiving should be voiced. Psalms 50, verse 14, if you want to go back to that verse next. Number one, Thanksgiving should be voiced. Number two, Thanksgiving should be offered. Verse chapter 50, verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving. Notice the difference in the next phrase, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. From that, I can tell you this, vows are to be paid, thanksgiving is to be offered. Vows are to be paid, thanksgiving is to be offered. If you make a vow unto the Lord, then you owe him that, and you should pay that. But you know what? Thanksgiving is something that we should offer. We should offer freely. We should offer voluntarily. It's kind of like the difference between paying your tithes and paying your offering. I heard one man say this. He said that paying our tithes is an act of obedience, but paying, giving of offerings is an act of love. And I think when it comes to this idea of thanksgiving, I believe it ought to be something that we freely give. An offering is something that we freely give. Offer unto the Lord thanksgiving. That means it comes from the heart. Watch this. That means it is not a payment for a debt or an obligation to be met. It is something we voluntarily bring to the Lord, and I think that that causes Him pleasure. Let me illustrate it this way. By the way, I think Thanksgiving should be taught. You know what? But it's exciting, parents, when you do not have to remind your children to say thank you. Now think about that. Thanksgiving should be taught, but Thanksgiving truly becomes Thanksgiving when it is the idea of the one that expresses it instead of obedience to a command of the authority figure in their life. Look up here, kids. Let me help you again. You know what? Somebody does something for you. You take it, and mom says, what does she say? What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? And, you know, moms, you repeat that. Dad, did you repeat that? You repeat that. And then there's that blissful day, that wonderful day, that great moment where you think maybe parenting does work, you know, when all of a sudden you're there and somebody gives something to one of your children, and before you can even say, what do you say? They look in that person's eyes and they say, thank you. And you know what, folks, at that point in time, it became their offering. Not obedience to command, okay, but their offering that they voluntarily brought to that person, a gift that they gave that person. Now think about that, folks. Listen to me. I think I want to be thankful this week. I want to be thankful every week. But if there's a week I want to, I guess, up it up a little bit, I want to do it this week. And I want it to be voiced. I want God to hear my voice this week. And you know what? I don't want it to be something that I feel like I'm doing out of obligation. And by the way, we are commanded to be thankful, but I don't want my offering to be out of obligation or obedience to something I'm made to do. I want it to flow voluntarily from my heart. Thanksgiving should be voiced. Thanksgiving should be offered. Look at Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse number 30. I'll go there next. Psalm 69, 30. Number three, thanksgiving should magnify the Lord. Notice this verse. I love this. Psalm 69, 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him. How? With thanksgiving. Now think about this. When we publicly offer thanksgiving to the Lord, by the way, I think this is a Bible principle that's applied when we are publicly thankful. Okay? Because we're talking about this idea of magnifying the Lord to the people around us. So when we publicly offer thanksgiving to the Lord, we magnify Him to those around us. That's why I think it's important. You may not pray out loud, but I think it's important for every Christian. If we're out in the restaurant, if we're out in public, you know what? We have food set down in front of us. And you know what? We're Christians. Come on. And we bow our head. Come on. I don't care if the whole family's around the table. Let's all grab a hold of hands. I don't care if there's a restaurant full of people. It doesn't matter. You know, I don't care if everybody's looking. Hey, let them look. Let's magnify the Lord. And let's pray. Let's say it out loud. Let's pray and ask God for His blessing and thank God for His food. And when you do those type of things, you magnify God in front of other people. Offering of thanks before a meal. How about this? Publicly crediting the Lord with every good thing that comes into our life. You know, gentlemen, when you go to work and you've had something wonderful happen that week in your life and the life of a family member and the life of your church, and somebody says, how's it going? Isn't that what they always ask? What an open door opportunity to magnify the Lord. Say, let me tell you something I really am thankful for, something amazing that God did for me this week. You know what? God's so good. God's so thankful. And you know what? Every time you do that, you magnify the Lord. Now, I kind of said this last Wednesday night, but I'm going to say it again. The more they can't tell you you can't speak up about God, the more determined you ought to be to speak up about God. First of all, the Constitution of the United States gives you freedom of speech. But far before that was written, we have a Bible, King James Holy Bible, that tells us that we have the right to speak up and the obligation to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you know what? Why would it be not be natural for us to just weave God into almost all of our conversations? You know, when somebody comes with a problem, point them to the Lord. When a good blessing comes into your life, credit the Lord. When something good happens at work and something goes right instead of wrong, you know what? I think there ought to be some Christian under his breath that everybody here say, bro, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you know what that does? That magnifies God be in front of everyone. Why should we credit the Lord? Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. I know that this is a football illustration, but that's something that's just frustrated me. And there's a lot of things in this world that I just shake my head at as the world tries to push God out of everything. But you know, there was a man that played quarterback for a while in the National Football League by the name of Tim Tebow. And by the way, I think in a very public way, he has spoken up and stood up for the Lord. I want to say this. I don't agree with him playing football on the Lord's Day. I'm just telling you, I think there's a convenient Christianity in some people's lives that pick and choose what they want to do and what they don't want to do, considering, and too many times, the love of money is the deciding factor in all of that. But I will tell you this. This is the part that just drives me crazy. The one thing I do admire about Tim Tebow is every single time that something went right on the football field, he'd score a touchdown or throw a touchdown or run for a touchdown. You know what he'd do? He'd immediately drop to his knee and he would stop and he would thank the Lord for allowing him to have the strength and health to do what he just did. And by the way, when he started doing that, you ought to have seen the liberal, come on, ESPN, which is run by a bunch of liberals, the talking heads on ESPN, which for the most part is a bunch of God haters. And you ought to see them begin to attack this man for taking a knee and simply praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for the ability to do what he just did. Now let's fast forward a couple years. And then there's this guy named Colin Kaepernick that decides he's going to take a knee during the national anthem, during the presentation of our flag, and all of a sudden, this man's a hero? Now, I want to say this, folks. Listen to me. There's something wrong, I mean wrong, in the United States of America. When the talking heads in the media will make a hero out of somebody who will kneel, by the way, in disrespect of every single man and woman that's given their life for this country. Disrespect for every single one that has served in our national defense. And yet we will make a hero out of somebody like this. And they literally put so much pressure on Tim Tebow and so blackballed him and said about his Christianity, do you really want to bring that into your locker room? And you know what? The NFL ought to pay attention to why their ratings keep plummeting. Okay? Why they can't sell tickets anymore. Well, you know what? These same people that are getting their living from the United States of America and cashing checks because they have an opportunity that America gave them to disrespect our country in that manner. Well, amen. And by the way, that has nothing to do with black and white. Not a thing in the world to do with black and white. I'm sick and tired of an entire country that's trying to turn everything into racism. It has to do with being disrespectful to those that have paid the ultimate price and died for our country and disrespectful to that American flag. God pity us. God help us. So you know what? Like I said, I'll tip my hat to Tim Tebow because you know what? When he had an opportunity to publicly thank the Lord, he did it. Think about that. Well, kneeling before the game then spread. Now, I'm going to take some time on this. This is a football week. I might as well pay my respects to it. So all of a sudden, it wasn't just Colin Kaepernick. It was a bunch of other people that decided that all of a sudden it was the right thing to do. An entire team led by their coaches kneeling. If you've watched anything on the NFL this entire month, they are doing a PR campaign like you've never seen before, trying to show how all of a sudden respectful they are to our veterans and how thankful they are to those that have served in our armed forces. And all of the coaching staff now has specially designed hoodies with camo and army and all of that stuff. Because you know what? They realized a bunch of Americans that love this country said, you know what, if that's what you're all going to do, you go ahead. But we're checking out of this nonsense, you know. But you know what's interesting? When they begin to kneel, I'm just trying to give you something. When they begin to kneel during the national anthem, you know what? All the cameras made sure. They used to go to commercial before the national anthem was even played. All of a sudden, they stayed. They wanted to make sure that they were on camera kneeling. kneeling before the game. Now listen where I'm going, kneeling before the game. Okay, in disrespect, did I mention this? In disrespect to our national heritage and our armed forces and our American flag. But one of the things they never have been able to get the camera on that's been going on for years, and I mean decades in the NFL, is what happens at the end of every single football game. And I mean, they used to show it when it first started, but then they realized real quickly they can't show this on national TV. And every once in a while, they'll be interviewing somebody and they'll accidentally get in the camera angle where you can see at the end of a football game, all of those that believe in Jesus Christ are gathering at the 50-yard line in the middle of the football field. And they gather, by the way, members of both teams that just went out there to do battle. And now they're kneeling and they're thanking God for keeping everybody safe and thanking God for, again, the lack of injuries and the care of everybody. And aren't we upside down? Come on. Somebody kneels in defiance, and I mentioned this, in defiance and disrespect of our nation and of those that have died for our country. And you know what? The camera's got to put them on the spotlight, make them a hero. But wait a minute. What about those that have been kneeling all these years that you said, come on, I guarantee you, somebody in the higher up said, don't show that on TV. We can't promote that. Now, listen, folks, I'm not an NFL football player, neither are you. But I believe this, in our arena of life, where God has placed you, you can magnify the Lord this week, gentlemen, at work. You can put a spotlight on the greatness of Almighty God. You can say a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies, come on. You know what? During this Thanksgiving time, we are going to have opportunity to rub shoulders with some people and also maybe to interact with family members that we might only see once a year. And you know what? They need Jesus as their Savior. Let's magnify the Lord. And thanksgiving magnifies the Lord. Chapter 95, Psalms 95. Let's turn there in verse number 2. Then we'll also read Psalms 100, verse 4. Psalms 95, verse 2. Number 4, thanksgiving should accompany us to church. Thanksgiving should accompany us to church. Psalms 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. At the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, your preachers taught this. And we find what I call the Ten Commandments for church members. I so believe in this. I so am sold on this that if you go out the back door and you look behind the information desk, you'll see these Ten Commandments hanging on the wall. I believe that if God gives us a commandment, he expects us to keep it. I think if God gives us a commandment and we don't keep it, it's sin in our life. I believe at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's Ten Commands for every church member. This is at the end of an epistle written to a local New Testament church. You know what God says to those church members? Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. Despise not prophesying. Hold fast to that which is good. Pray without ceasing. Quench not the spirit. Prove all things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. One of those commands, the third one, is this, in everything give thanks. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, gratitude is the loveliest flower in the garden of a man's soul. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he is well nigh gone. You know what? I can say this. I believe that because I've seen it with my own eyes. You watch a church member who lets gratitude die in the altar of their heart, and I can tell you this as a pastor, they're well nigh gone. They're well nigh gone. The 100th Psalm commands us, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I think we ought to enter into every Lord's Day with a thankful heart. I think we ought to say thank you often to the Lord and to all those around us who serve in our local assembly. Thank God for the place he's given you to worship. Thank God for your church. If this is indeed a command, and I believe it is, then it is a sin to show up to church. It is a sin to show up to church with an unthankful, ungrateful spirit. But you know what? If you're going to show up with a thankful heart, you got to do it on purpose. Can I give you good advice? Prepare your heart each Lord's Day so that before you leave your house, you show up in your place ready to obey this command. Here's the command. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I think Thanksgiving should accompany us to church. That's number four. Let's go to the fifth one, Psalms 107, verse 22. Psalms 107, verse number 22. Thanksgiving should be voiced. Thanksgiving should be offered. Thanksgiving should magnify the Lord. Thanksgiving should accompany us to church. Number five, Thanksgiving should inspire sacrifices. Should inspire sacrifices. In Psalms 107, verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You can go over to Psalms 116, just a few pages to your right there. Psalms 116 and verse number 17. And we see this same truth again. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. The works salvation crowd. You say, who's that? That's anybody that wants to add any work to this idea of being saved. The works salvation crowd cannot understand why those of us who believe in salvation by grace through faith do the most work. I think that's always interesting. The busiest church in any community is not the works crowd church. The busiest, most active, most serving church in every community is the salvation by grace through faith crowd. You see, folks, they can't get it. They say they have to work their way to heaven, but sometimes I scratch my head and say, by looking at their lives, well, good luck with that. But we do not work for, they don't understand. Well, we do not work for Christ to attain salvation. Let's get back to Thanksgiving. We work for Christ out of a true heart of appreciation to what he has done. You see, folks, watch this. A thankful heart wants to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let that sink in. We're not required to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We want to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I just want to ask you to search your heart as I ask this question. Please listen. When was the last time you sacrificed something so significant to God that it was proof of your thankfulness for all that Christ has done for you? You see, your willingness to sacrifice is the greatest measure of your true-hearted thankfulness. I'm going to say it again. Your willingness to sacrifice is the greatest measure of your true-hearted thankfulness. Talk's cheap. Selfishness takes God's goodness for granted and then grumbles because it's not more. But thankfulness makes you keenly aware of God's generosity to you despite your own unworthiness. I want to give you a challenge, and this is up to each family, moms, dads. You know what? Put your heads together, think, kids, have a little family meeting, decide to do something. We're getting ready to enter into the Christmas season. And listen, I'm all for all the fun festivities. Have a good time. Come on, if you're a grandparent, come on, you can spoil those kids. Just go ahead. No matter what the parents say, Dad, would you cut back? Would you stop bringing so many toys? No, I will not. And make sure you pick toys that make loud noises and are extremely annoying. That's a gift of true happiness to the heart of every grandparent here, you know. It's called revenge, to be honest with you. It's called revenge. You know what? Do for your own. Do for your own. Do for your wife. But could I just ask you to maybe think about this? I think every family, as God leads you, you know what you ought to do? You ought to get together and say, hey, you know what? Let's not just make this about us. Let's make this about somebody else. And let's just show God to God our thankfulness by offering something sacrificial. And you can look around, folks. I'm telling you, there's needs everywhere. There's people that have true, genuine needs. There's people that maybe are not as blessed as you are. There's people in full-time service. I'm telling you what, I know a lot of men and families that are on full-time service. I mean, they're full-time for the Lord, but they're trying to live on part-time wages. And they'll do it because God's called them to do it, and they will sacrifice to do it. You know what? I think one of the blessings of Christmas time is to say, yes, you know what? This is a good time where we're able to give gifts and show our appreciation one to another. But it's also an opportunity to do what God did. Because you know what? He gave the greatest gift ever on Christmas Day. And you know what? It wasn't for him. It was for us. It was for people that were needy. And by the way, even unthankful. But he gave it anyway. And I think that if you are truly thankful, you know what? I don't have to talk to you a lot about sacrificing, because if you have a gratitude attitude, if you got a truly thankful heart, it's just like you always are looking for an opportunity to just be a blessing, to help somebody, do for somebody. And so as the Lord leads you, this is fun. You, come on, husbands, wives, put your head together, leading of the Holy Spirit, praying about it, thinking about it. You know what? God will lead you to do something that I think will be maybe the favorite part of your Christmas. Thanksgiving should inspire sacrifice. Let me go to the last one, Psalms 147, verse 7. Go towards the back, all the way back. Psalms 147 and verse number 7. We read this, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. I want to just take a minute and say this. I thank God that I'm a part of a singing church. I mean that. Thank you, church, for being that. Thank you for building a reputation of that. I think it starts with Brother Tom Walton, our congregational singing. I want to say a word of thanks to Brother Tom for all these years. You know what? We're praying for him. We're praying God gives him a full recovery, and we're praying that there'll be a time soon where he'll walk right back in the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, open the songbook, growl a little bit at you, and then start doing this and leading us in singing. Amen. And the folks, listen to me. You know, I believe this. Thanksgiving should energize our singing and our praise. You know, thank God for our congregational singing. Thank you for singing out. I'm in churches from time to time, other churches, and I don't understand. I don't understand this mentality of opening a songbook, looking out, half the people aren't singing, the rest of them are mumbling their way through it. You know, there's 10 or 12 playing on their cell phone. What are we doing? What are we doing? Can I just tell you what that is? That's the result of an unthankful heart. Because thankfulness energizes your singing. That's what it says here. Come on, I'm not adding to the scripture. And energizes your praise. I'm thankful for our congregational singing. I'm thankful for our children's choir. And I appreciate Brother Nathan, Miss Lauren, taking that on, that project on. They go out there on Wednesday night, work with the kids musically. And then we get the blessings every couple months of them coming up here and singing, oh, man alive. And they sing out, you know. We got to sing in his church. And then we have the youth and the adult choir, and I enjoyed them so much this morning. Brother Bud does such a good job with them. And, of course, the reason we have the level of excellence when it comes to singing is because of your pastor's vast skill set and knowledge when it comes to all things musical, you know. I'm sure that has to be what it is. We have so much special music. We're so blessed with so many people. You would not believe how many comments I got from those that came from out of town. I want to thank those of you that plugged in. And I asked four people to come and sing at my father-in-law's funeral, and every one of you just did. I can tell you'd practice, and the songs just beautifully done. And I mean, I literally had family members. Cheryl had family members come in. So that was the most beautiful, spirited, sweet funeral service we'd ever been in. And I will tell you, folks, that's mostly, they said that mostly because of the music. And you know what? I asked four. I could have not chosen them and had four totally different people or groups, and it would have been just as good at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Say, preacher, boy, we are blessed with good singing around here. We are. Preacher, what advice can you give when it comes to singing? Well, I can give you one piece of advice. Watch this. What's the best secret you can share with someone who wants to take singing to the next level in their church? Here it is. Sing with a thankful heart. Sing with a thankful heart. You know what? I may not know the nuts and bolts of it, but I know the difference between somebody that's getting up trying to put on a performance and somebody else that's getting up with a true heart of thankfulness, praising the Lord. Sometimes I want to say this. If we're not careful, we've practiced the emotion right out of it. You know what? I'm for practicing. But I think once you've practiced it and you've perfected it, what you need to do is get up behind a pulpit and forget all of that and think about the words and let them touch your soul and touch your heart and sing, watch this, as if nobody's listening but God. And I will tell you, if you can learn to do that as you are seated and participate in our congregational singing, or you're part of a choir, children, as you gather and are part of the children's choir, If you can remember to do that, you know what? You will be obeying the Bible, and you will be bringing what I think is perfect praise to our Savior. Well, that's the Thanksgiving verses in the book of Psalms. May all of these truths help us to have a wonderful week and a week that pleases the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I think the thing that I'm thankful for more than any other thing is my salvation. And you know what? If you've never been saved, you can take care of that today and have a whole new, amazing reason to be thankful. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Has there ever been a time someone's taken the Bible, explained to you from the Bible how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior? If not, we have one of our men, Brother Brian Morris, waiting up here. As soon as we start the invitation song, if you'll step out of your pew to the nearest aisle, walk to the front, go to him. If you're a lady, he'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll get one of our men to take the Bible. Folks, listen to me. Until I got saved, I really didn't understand what thankfulness was all about. Because how can you truly, truly fulfill the Bible commands on thankfulness if you're at odds with the Lord? Until he becomes your Father and Jesus becomes your Savior, it seems like everything else is just muddled. But it's amazing the clarity and the spirit and the change that happens in a person the day that they get saved. So if you're here without Christ, I would encourage you to be saved today. Heavenly Father, bless this time, Lord. Lord, help us as Christians to make some decisions concerning, Lord, what we're going to do with what we've learned today. That we would learn, Lord, to be more thankful and how to properly, biblically express our thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, if there is that one without Christ, may that be settled this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.